Wonderful. Well, let's start in the Word of God. Now, realize that this Word of God basically is what I live by right here. This, if it's in the book, I live by it. And I find that the Bible is more than just reading material. It's a success book. It will really bring you into good success. Good success says I can have a successful business without losing my family. It's a good success book. And I advise you, if you don't have a Bible, you might want to try to get one. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to be held accountable for the work God has wanted you to do here in this earth. And you need a manual to know how you're supposed to operate and how you're supposed to live. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let's look here at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, I am a faith preacher. I believe in faith. Faith is what got me here. And faith is what's going to keep me. So I have to learn what faith is, how faith comes, and how to make faith work. And that's very, very simple. It's not hard. Let's read this scripture, because I want to talk on a subject called entering into his rest. Entering into his rest. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'll start reading here at verse 28. Come unto me, all who labor and that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When I first started and got born again, I was working for a company called IBM. How many of you ever heard of IBM before? I think they have a big IBM here in Bangalore. Well, I worked for IBM for about 14 years, but that's when I got born again. I was brought up in a town called Tuskegee, Alabama. And in Alabama, I went to a school called Tuskegee University, a school founded by a black man named Booker T. Washington. And he founded it. When he came to Tuskegee, there was nothing. And he was sent on a mission to start a school. And at that time, people had just been released from slavery in the United States. And he started the school in 1881. And in 1905, Booker T. Washington was turning out more self-made millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton combined. Not only that, by 1915, he had built, with his own bricks that he made in his own brick factory, he had built 107 buildings. Now he had full faculty, he had professors, he had students, and so forth. And he did it all by faith. He had faith in God and believed that God would do some things. So that was my inspiration when I was growing up. So I grew up in a town that was known for faith. But also, when I was a young man, my dad would take me to the local airport. Because in this particular airport, they had something called the Tuskegee Airmen. And the Tuskegee Airmen was a program that the United States government was experimenting on, because they were experimenting as to whether the African American would be able to fly. And so they experimented with it in Tuskegee. And so when I was a young boy, I would see all these black pilots and that they were flying. Well, the whole nature of the earth, and your life included, works on the basis of seed time and harvest. It all works. There's no way that anyone can live on earth outside of the law of sowing and reaping. No way. No world. And so what happened was, my dad would take me out and I would actually see these pilots fly. And then I said, well, I'm going to learn to fly too. And so I went to school. I graduated from college in pre-med and chemistry and biology. But I decided I didn't want to go on to med school or do things that I had thought about doing. I wanted to fly airplanes. I thought that was the most exciting thing. So what I did is I took the exam and qualified to go to pilot training for the United States Air Force. So as I did that, I went to pilot training and finished. And I finished in the upper part of my class. And so I got assigned fighters. And fighters really began to teach me a lot about faith. When you fly airplanes, you go from basically the very fundamental parts of flying. And as you do increase in knowledge, you go into the more complex part of flying. Now, let me show you how this relates to faith. When I started out, with a little Piper Cub, little propeller-driven airplane, and the instructors would teach me. And I started out with what is called visual flight rules. They call it VFR. And in that flying, you always fly clear of clouds. You never go in clouds. You always fly so you can look at the ground. And so what happened was I passed that part. And then the next level was called IFR, instrument flight rules. And in IFR flying, that's when you can go in clouds. But if you go in clouds, if you don't know how to read your instruments, then you could get disoriented. You can actually have a bad accident. So what happened to me is I had to learn instrument flying. So that was the next level. So I learned the instrument flying and became proficient at it. And so now I finished pilot training, got a fighters, and then I went from one base to another, and then I went to war, and so forth and so on. Now, how does this relate to faith? On instrument flying, when my instructor was teaching me, here's what he said. He said, now, I'm going to blindfold you. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to put the airplane in an unusual attitude. And when I do that, I want you to tell me whether or not what attitude you're in. You tell me. Now, the only way I could tell him is I had to rely on my feelings. So he did it. He said, what attitude are you in? I said, well, it looks like the airplane is straight and level. He said, okay, take the blindfold off. I was upside down. Now, here's my point. This is your instruments. This is it. Don't rely on your feelings. Don't rely on anything else but this. This is the manual for life that tells you how everything truly is. Truth is the highest realm of reality. Truth. Even increase, whether it be your business or your ministry, increase does not come by time. I know people that had ministries for 40 years. And still have 40 people. So it doesn't come by time. Increase comes by truth. And that Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So I advise everybody who doesn't have an instrument manual that you need to get one. because you need to find out whether you're upside down. This manual tells you where you should be. I go different places in the nations and I preach. I preach down in Brazil. I preach over in Africa. I preach wherever. And sometimes I preach and I tell people, I said, you know, when I came to Chicago, I came there and we had only $200 to our name. We had no savings, nothing. But God said, go. He gave me the book and he said, I've trained you. Now go. And I got to Chicago, and the first thing that happened is a lady saw us, and she said, the Lord has spoken to me about opening my home to you and your family until you get started in ministry here in Chicago. I said, well, praise the Lord. So she did that. So as I began to go on, I began to grow because I began to do what the Bible says, and I began to cling to the Word, and I began to do things by faith. And so as I go on and I go to the nations, now we're flying in our own jet, paid in full, flying around the world. We have a whole team. Well, the Potters are flying with us right now. And we have, they're just hooking a ride. And no, I was just kidding. And they're flying. And as we're going to different places, I'm just saying, people say to me, well, you can do that because you're from America. I said, wait a minute. The same God that's in America is in Bangalore. So I want to show you something. It's found in Acts chapter 10. And over in Acts chapter 10, he talks here about God. And Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And that word accepted with him says, has the same access to his blessing. Put it in your Bible. Has the same access to his blessing. In every nation. So I had to understand, I said, wait a minute, my friend. You're thinking God bless me because I'm from America? I said, let me tell you. Read the manual. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, that includes India, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness has the same access to his blessing. So I'm finding out that God's no respecter of persons. So you saw a picture and the pastor talked about the shopping center. When I first saw the shopping center, my goodness, God said, I want you to buy that. I looked at that shopping center and I said, get thee behind me. I thought it was another voice, you know. But it turned out to be God. I said, God, how can I buy something that big? He said, by faith. I said, wow. Okay, now God, how do I work my faith? He said, how does faith come? I said, by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So I had to go into the Word of God and find out what God's Word said about it so faith would come. And so I went in, he took me to a scripture in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua was about to take the land of Canaan. So as Joshua was about to take that land, God spoke to him and he said this in verse 3. He said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. This is what he said to me. So he said, now take that. I said, okay, what's that? He said, that seed. Take the seed of the Word of God and sow it in the soil of your heart. I said, wow, how do I do that? Speak it. Speak it. So I began to take this word and say it. Father, I just thank you for this shopping mall. For every place the sole of my foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. So I took it and I began to speak it. Now, what did it do? Two things. It renewed my mind and transformed my heart. All of a sudden, as I spoke it, let me show you one more scripture. It's found in Mark's gospel in chapter 4. Now, do you see now why you need a manual? Because it's all in the book. Say it's in the book. And look what it says here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20 and 20 and verse 14. The sower sows the word. Now watch this. Verse 26. And Jesus said, and so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now I just want you to hear this. He said, the sower soweth the what? Word. Say it. The word. Say the word. Now I can preach to you, but I want to teach some too. Because when I leave here, I want you to be changed. I'm telling you right now that whatever the enemy has been keeping from you is going to be released tonight. Now, he gave me a seed. Now, let me show you how that works. Here I was in our church. It was a Wednesday night, and a pastor friend from South Africa had come in town. And I asked him to bring the word on that Wednesday night. So he stood up there and he was bringing the word of God. And then all of a sudden, he stopped. And he stepped back and looked at me. He said, Pastor Winston, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And he went back preaching. What do you think I did? I got in the book. I got in the book. He said, my airplane is in the book. Now, I want you to see this now, because once you get born again, you come into the kingdom. And once you come into the kingdom, you have an inexhaustible supply of everything that you'll ever need. Of everything that you'll ever need. And so what happened was, I went to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and I read the chapter. I saw no airplane. I read it again. No airplane. I read it again. No airplane. Now, I could have stopped, but I knew too much about the book. The book says, over in Romans, over in Romans, and Romans chapter 10, it says this. It says, verse 14, how shall they call upon him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, look at me right now. Right now, this is your pastor, but right now, I'm your prophet. I'm your prophet. And they that receive the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. See, you just can't say, oh, that's just old Pastor Bill Winston. No. When I step into this office, I'm your prophet. And what I'm speaking to you, you have to receive it like a seed. So what happened? He said, Pastor Winston, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Well, he was sent. He was sent. And I'm thinking, I said, he's sent for me. So I took that word. But I began to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and I didn't see anything. But faith is persistent. So I stayed there. I read it again. I didn't see any airplane. But I read it one more time. And then the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes, and I looked at verse 10, and here's what he says, verse 20, and here's what he says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry your voice. A bird of the air shall carry your voice. Now, what is that? Seed. Now, how does it work? Now, listen at me. How does it work? Here is Mary. Mary was approached by an angel. The angel said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored among women." And what happened? He said, "You're going to have a child. And that holy thing shall be born of you, shall be the Son of God." Notice what Mary said. "Well, how is this going to happen to me?" He said, "The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. And that holy thing shall be the Son of God." And Mary said this, "Well, be it unto me." Notice what she did. She received seed. Come on, help me now. She received seed. So here's the man of God coming from Africa. He gives me a word, and all I have to do is receive seed. Come on now. All you got to do tonight is receive seed. You ready for some seed? You'll never be broke another day in your life. Ha! Receive. You ready for some more seed? Yeah. Whatever you've been struggling with, your struggle is over. Yeah. Now just receive it, praise God. Now what does the Bible says? Say, John chapter 1. It says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Watch this. And the Word was God. If you've got the Word, you've got who? God. And then it goes on down to verse 14 and said, the Word became flesh. Glory to God. Well, if Mary could receive a word and it become a baby, why can't I receive a word and it become an airplane? Come on now. Why? Come on. Why can't you receive a word and it become a house? Why can't you receive a word and it become a car? Come on, folks. I said, come on, folks. Hey, 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 hey. Hey. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom process, and that's the way the kingdom works. The kingdom will either lead you to, bring to you, or create for you whatever you have need of, independent of what's going on around you. Doesn't make any difference. God's got you covered. God's got you covered. He's got seed for every need. I said he's got seed for every need. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, it says this, the seed is the word of God. Glory to God. Now, What did I do? I began to take that bird of the air shall carry your voice. That was a seed. I began to meditate it. Notice what happened with Mary. Once she received seed, she ran out. I better show you that. Look at Luke chapter 1. Let's see what happened to Sister Mary. In Luke chapter 1. Here's what it says. It says this. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say that with me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Come on, say it again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And look down here at verse 44. Now, this is Mary. She runs out to her cousin Elizabeth's house. Let's see what happened when she got there. Verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now this is Elizabeth. She's 6 months expecting already. Next verse, please. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now I want you to see this. Mary got a word from an angel that was sent. And she took it and said, be it unto me. When she did that, she conceived it. Now understand, right away she runs out to Elizabeth's house. Now Mary just got a word. Now she's talking about all nations are going to call me blessed. Now notice, she's not showing. She's not feeling anything. She didn't have three dogs to bark some song. My point to you is, she had no evidence that it was done other than the Word of God. Amen. Come on down and look at another verse. This is verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, Elizabeth's full time came as she should be delivered. Now understand, Elizabeth, the angel said, was 6 months pregnant. Mary abode with her 3 months. What is 6 and 3? 9. That's full term. Elizabeth had that baby. My point to you is that when Mary got there, follow me, please. Elizabeth was 6 months already expecting. Mary stayed with her another 3 months. So that tells me when Mary got there, she wasn't showing at all. She just believed the word of God. Now, God didn't tell Mary she was just going to have a baby. God said, you're going to have God. Now, I want you to see that. Because when he gives you something, he's taking it far beyond your head. When it's time for your faith can do much more than your head can do. And your faith comes out of your heart. So what you want to do is develop your faith, because we need to let the world see our God. We need to do something that the world can't do. And I'm telling you now, God is ready to show you off. He wants to use you to show people who he is. The only thing I'm saying is this. The only thing Mary received was a word. The only thing I received, come on, was a word. Now remember what I said at the beginning. Don't go by your feelings. Go by your instruments. Go by, come on, the word. Now, I don't know about you, but I read in the scriptures over in Romans chapter 3, it says, let God be true Come on. And every man be a liar. So whatever God says in his word is true. Say amen.
Amen.
See, don't look at me as if I'm some stranger up here. I happen to be your brother. Come on now. I'm your brother. And I came to town to tell you your days of lack are over. So, what did I do? I began to believe that I have received what God said. I began to meditate his word. And then things started happening. One day I had finished teaching and preaching service, and a lady came with a shopping bag. And she came and said, Dr. Winston? I said, yes. She said, God told me to give you this. I said, what is it? She said, it's something God told me to give you. I said, okay, lady, but what is it? She said, well, it's in the bag. It's something he told me. So I didn't want to touch it. You know what I mean? The Bible says, watch and pray. And so what happened? She opened it up, and I looked down in that bag. And it was an aircraft piston to an engine. And I said this, God, you're going to give me this thing in parts? No. First, the blade. God is going to give you a definite indication that your faith is at work. Give it to God. What happened? First a blade, then another thing came called the ear, then the full corn ear, and today we're flying all over the world. Preaching the gospel. But not only that, letting God's people know that God wants you to have more of an experience with him than just being born again. Born again is the first step. God now wants you to have something called an inheritance. Now go with me to Revelation in chapter 5. Say it's in the book. Come on, say it's in the book. Oh, I like that. Revelation chapter 5. There was a lady in Chicago, and she was going to one of these places that served sandwiches called barbecue sandwiches. Now, I don't know whether they have barbecue here. They got barbecue all over the world. Okay. Praise the Lord. So here she was at this place. It was a very small restaurant, very small. And most people got their food to go. They didn't eat it there. You just eat it and beat it, you know. And so what happened? She was at the window getting her food. And once she got her food, she got it in a package, in a bag, and she left. So the next man got up to the window. But she came back, and she came back kind of emotionally touched. She came back and pushed him out of the way and said, wait a minute, hold on. And she was calling for the man who owned the place, who fixed the food. She said, excuse me. And then the man answered, yes, lady, what can we do for you? She said, does bread come with this? Notice, in our community, it is against the law to sell barbecue with no bread. I mean, You don't do that. But somebody had forgot her bread. But I want you to hear a scripture. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Notice what he asked you to do. Don't forget your benefits. Folks, when I signed up for the military, they had benefits. I signed up for the military as a fighter pilot, and notice what they did. They took care of my family. My children had free school. They had free dental care. They had everything. I didn't have to buy my own jet. They didn't send me to a place and said, oh, Captain Winston, we're so glad you're here, but you got to buy your own jet. No, one of the benefits, they give me an airplane. When I got an IBM, they had benefits of health benefits and retirement benefits. All that was part of the benefits package. Let me read you your benefits package. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 5. I'll start at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us to receive, what's the next word? Power. What's the next word? Riches. What's the next word? Wisdom. What's the next word? Strength. What's the next word? Honor. What's the next word? Glory. And what else? Blessing. You are blessed. No. When I go into a city, the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be blessed coming in. Come on. And blessed going out. I came in this place today and they were playing music and all the kids were throwing flowers. Honey, I'm blessed. I am blessed. Glory to God. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Wisdom always comes with wealth. You can't separate the two. A lot of times countries are poor when they're seeking after money. Nope. They need to get wisdom. Because wisdom and wealth travel together. What's another one? Strength. Strength. That means you're supposed to live long and strong. Look at what Caleb said. Caleb said, I am 85 years old, and I am as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Give me this mountain. Glory to God. How about another one? Riches. Nobody representing the kingdom should be broke. Give me an amen on that. Don't sit there. See, you got to understand, all of us come into the kingdom with ungodly thought patterns. Every one of us. And the problem is people think just because they see something with their eyes, they'll change. My friend, you don't see with your eyes. You see through them. You see with your mind. I want you to hear this. You ready? Can you hear it? That's my alarm. It told me it's time to quit. Can I go just a little bit longer? Y'all don't know what you're getting into now. They said it. Didn't they say that? Hallelujah. What am I saying to you? Jesus said this, "He who was rich for your sake became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." Rich is not a bad word. I'll say it one more time. Rich is not a bad word. I don't know about this country, but in my country, they have an expression called this, filthy rich. Now think about this. Rich is not necessarily filthy. You can be rich without being filthy. But it's designed to keep you away from it. Why? Because your boundary is not outside. It's inside. Let's look at that scripture. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Now remember, a seed will meet every need. I said a seed will meet every need. So when you have a need, go to the book. Because the book has seed for every need. Watch this. And if it's not in the book, you don't need it. Thank you for that. Amen. Look at verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I had to look up that word issues in the Greek, in the Hebrew, pardon me. And in Hebrew, that word issues means boundary or borders. The boundary of your life is not outside. The boundary of your life is inside. When people can't go any further, it's not because of the government. It's not because of somebody who doesn't like them. They said, "Dr. Winston, I hate to tell you this, but those people, they're prejudiced, and they don't want a black man to buy this shopping center." I said, "Well, that's their problem. Because if God be for me..." Come on, help me now. It's in the book. It's in the book. "If God be for me, who can be against me?" So notice, I was flying on instruments, not relying on my feelings of what's or some uninformed unbeliever. I was relying on one thing. It's in the book. If it's in the book, it's my inheritance. If it's my inheritance, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to forget my benefits. Satan would love to see you get born again, and that's it. And just wait on Jesus to come. Lord, Jesus is coming soon. I know I'm broke, but Jesus is coming soon. I know my marriage is just a mess, but Jesus is coming soon. Hurry up, Jesus. And you follow what I'm saying? No. My marriage. I got married. This is over 30 years ago. God delivered me a woman. And we were, we loved each other. Just so, we were kissy face all the time. Then about 6 months later, a voice came to me. "You married the wrong woman." Hey, did I? "Yes, you did. You thought she could cook." I said, "Well, yeah, I thought she was good." And he began to point out every little thing. And pretty soon, now I'm thinking, how can I get out of this? Now I'm not happy in this. But then, because I'm born again, I'm in the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is coming to my rescue. He leads me to a meeting where they're teaching, and this man was preaching on You can have what you say. I said, whoa, have what I say. Let me listen to this. So I listened to it. And then after the meeting, a tape and book table were there. And I went and bought this book, a little book, very inexpensive, called Praying God's Word. And I got that book. And I opened it up. It says prayer for husband, prayer for wife, prayer for children, prayer for dogs. No, I'm just kidding. Prayer for soul. So anyway, I opened it up to prayer for wives, you know, because we don't need no prayer, you know. And so what happened? I began to read it. My wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity, she does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids their tasks. She does not court neglect of her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. The word of God is working mightily in our marriage. We've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And after I finished reading that, something would say to me, that's not true. That's not true. Check it out. Every word I just said is in the book. It's in the book. And what do? I have to speak it. And so every day I would speak it. My wife is a virtuous woman. The word is working mightily in our marriage. She does me good, only good, as long as there's life within her. I'm speaking this word now. And then all of a sudden, the food tastes better. I said, yeah, come on, girl. Notice what happened. The boundary was not outside. It wasn't my wife. It was me that needed prayer. So I'm saying to you right now that many times we put it on the government. We put it on the fact that we don't have a good job, so forth and so on. My friend, let me give you a good dose of something. That employer is not there to meet all your needs. Now stay with me now. You are in the kingdom. God is your source. Are you with me? My God shall supply what? All your need. So he's your source. That man is there to pay you a fair salary. But that salary is not your source. See, once you become paycheck minded, then you're serving another master. A man cannot serve, come on, two masters. He's going to either hate one and love the other, hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now think about this. Before you came into the earth, God saw you. Not only did he see you, he provided everything for you. I had this friend of mine, he went to visit General Motors. General Motors is a big car manufacturing plant in the United States. He went to visit them, and they were showing him all the cars and how they make them and so forth. Then they took him to another place. He said, now what is this? He said, this is a place of future parts. This is where future parts are. He said, future parts? He said, yeah, we're designing future cars. He said, now is the car made yet? He said, no, the car is not made. He said, well, what is this? He said, these are the parts to the car. He said, wait a minute, you make the parts to the car before the car? They said, yeah, that's the way we do it. I got news for you. Before you came, God made all your parts. He made all your parts, man. Come on, he made all your parts. What am I saying? He said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, watch this. I've given you houses full of all good things that you didn't fill. Now I'm coming back to my leading scripture. Come unto me, all that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. You were never meant to bear the weight of your own provision. That came through the fall. Jesus took that back off of you. Here's what he said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Consider the fowls of the air. They don't struggle. Consider the lilies. They don't toil. Your days of toiling are over. God's got you covered. Now, here's where I learned that. And I learned it in IBM, because that's where I got born again. That's what happened. I was struggling. When I went to IBM, I worked in computers. I was a salesman. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. I was a salesman. And as a salesman, you go to training, and after training, you go on what is known as quota. You now go on commission, and they cut your paycheck back to 40 or 50% of what you were making. They cut it back. Why? You're supposed to make the rest up on commission. Well, what happened to me? They cut me back. I didn't know that cut was going to hurt me so bad. I looked at my paycheck. I said, wait a minute, how can anybody live off of this? I wasn't supposed to live off of it. I was supposed to live off my commission. So what happened? I tried to make it. I tried to sell something. I didn't know God. And because I didn't know God, I'm struggling on a curse-based system. See, there are only two systems. One is a system of the law of sin and death, and the other one is a spirit of life. Now, only two systems, a Babylonian system and a kingdom of God system. And most people who get born again are still trying to operate under that Babylonian system. God's got a way for you, no toil. And so what happened? Let me tell you what happened. So, I got another job. I got two jobs. I would work IBM from 8 o'clock to 5. And then I'd leave at 5 o'clock and get to my next job at 6 o'clock. And I worked to 10 or 11 at night. I did this, and I'd work even Saturdays. When did I see my family? Hardly ever. That's what that system will do for you. And somebody said, well, how am I supposed to make it? Switch systems. Switch systems, you see. You see, you didn't know there was another system. And the enemy tries to keep us from that knowledge. And I came to announce to you that there's a system where all your needs can be met independent of your paycheck. Now, do I work hard? Oh, yes, I work hard. But guess this. I am not no longer working to earn a living. You are an ambassador. Think about it like this. The Bible says Jesus is a king of kings. Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Have you ever seen a king waiting on a paycheck? Okay, thank you. That settles that right there. Now somebody said, am I not supposed to work? Oh, yes. You got to work because you've got to develop your gift. Work is the only way that potential comes forth. Work. You work potential out. Work is the way that you serve your fellow man. Work is the way that you commit value to society. Work. You work. Anybody that's able to work should work, because work is good. But we've been working so hard until we're looking forward to retirement. You remember the word retire. Listen at it. I'm tired. All right. Let me just finish by saying this. I'm giving you some new principles here. So what did I do with IBM? I learned another way. And when I learned another way, watch this now. I'm going beyond what you probably know. Now listen at me what I'm saying. I learned another way. And when I learned that next way, I stopped my second job, worked my first job, because now I'm not just buying and selling, I'm going to start sowing and reaping. So as I sowed seed, God opened up opportunities. And the next thing I know, I'm bringing in so much business, so much computer business, till I'm going in my boss's office, and this is what I'm saying to my boss. Hey, Warren, I said, what do you need this month? He said, oh, Bill, can you help me out again this month? I said, yes, I can, Warren. I said, what do you need? He said, well, I need this and this and this. I said, okay, all of this, I got you covered. Boom, bringing in business at will. Bringing in business at will. What did I become? Number one salesman downtown. I'm telling you, God promised to honor you. He promised to bring you to honor. Now, wait a minute. Let me give you one more story, and I'm done. Now I got promoted. Now I'm a sales manager at IBM. Watch this, using the same principle. It just so happens, when I became a sales manager, the economy went down. Now, nobody was buying computers. But you have a covenant with God. And that covenant works. I don't care whether it's plenty or whether it's scarcity. It'll work for you. So what did I do? Sowed seed. Now, what I was doing was going out with the other managers, and we were having lunch and having a giant pity party. We were just crying. Oh, things are so bad. And so God checked me. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm having a party. He said, listen, son, why don't you do what you've learned? So what did I do? I went back to thinking like the kingdom. I said, all right. I said, I'm going to get my mouth right. I'm going to say the right thing. And then my sister called. Last day of the month, nobody had business. The office was suffering. And my sister called me. Here's what she said to me. She worked for IBM as well. Hey, brother, how you doing this month? This is what I said to her. It didn't come out of my head because my head doesn't notice much. It came out of my heart. You call me back at 5 o'clock today, I'll have so much business I can't put it on the books. And then I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what happened? 12 o'clock noon, all of a sudden my sales reps start calling in. Hey, Bill, I just got a big order. Hey, another one. Hey, Bill, this man just signed a big order. Hey, Bill. Now, that wasn't coincidence that all of them would get business. But see, notice, I didn't have to toil for it. He can give it to you without hard, hard toil, worrying all night and so forth. Now, watch this. They came in. And I'm busy at 5 o'clock. I'm back at administration booking business. My boss came. Why? Because I had booked enough for me. I had booked enough for Leo. That's another manager. I had booked enough for Bill Adrian. That's another manager. I had booked enough for the whole office. And I had booked enough for my boss. He looks over my shoulder and says this. Hey, Bill, wait, that's enough. Let's save some for next month. Because he thought next month I could do it again. See, but this, you can do it when you want to do it. Hello, you can do it when you want to do it. Jesus fed them anytime. What am I saying? Game number one, sales manager. I'm saying wherever you are right now, whatever your financial condition is, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Amen. Nothing's too hard for Him. Now you ask yourself, well, why did He stop you? He stopped me because of what I said. I said, I'll have so much business by 5 o'clock, I can't put it all on the books. I better come over here. Why did my boss stop me from putting the business on the books? Because of my confession. You never rise higher than your confession. I said this, I'll have so much business, I can't put it all on the books. So my boss had to stop me because it wasn't him, it was my words that was controlling that office. So, I want to let you know, I came to this city to tell you that things are going to change in your life. Now, I want you to do something, because I remember when a man had leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. His name was Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy and went to his king, the king of Syria, and he said, there's a prophet down there. Go to that prophet and see, can you get healed? So Naaman took all of his soldiers, because he was a general, and he took all of his soldiers. He went down there and pulled up at the prophet's residence and asked for the prophet. The prophet's servant came out, and he said, I need to see your prophet. He said, I have a need of healing. And he said, he went back in and said, excuse me, Prophet Elijah, there's a king, a general out here, and he's a man of great stature. He said he needs you to come out and get him healed. Here's what he said. Tell him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He came back out there, general. He says, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. What? You mean he won't come out to see me? And he turned away in a huff and began to ride off. But a little servant running beside him, he said, General, if he would have told you to do something great, would not you have done that? And the general thought about it. He said, well, yeah. He said, General, why don't you go ahead and do it? What did he do? He thought second. He came back. He went to River Jordan. He dipped 1 time. Came up, still had leprosy. Dipped another time, came up, still had leprosy. Now all his men were seeing him, because faith often puts you in a place of ridicule. He dipped another time, 3rd time, still had leprosy, but just do what the word says. He dipped another time, 4th time, still had leprosy. 5th time, still had leprosy. 6th time, 7th time he went down, came up. The Bible says this. His skin was as clean as a newborn baby. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. So notice what he did. He only did what the prophet said. And I'm going to do something with you, and you just do what the prophet says. Now here's, watch me, watch me. Got it? Got it? Got it? Stand to your feet. We got the devil where we want him now. Now, on the count of 3, I want you to do exactly what I did. Now, don't try to reason it out. Understand, he just had to dip 7 times. Just do what the man of God who was sent told you to do. Are you ready? 1, 2. Now make room for yourself. 3. There's a shift in your life. Everything that was holding you, it's now got to let you go. This is a new season in your life. Your days of being broke are over. Your marriage problems will be healed. Everything that's going wrong will turn up right. Now give God praise and receive your miracle right now in Jesus' name. Now take your seats. Now listen. Don't forget this night. Here's what I want to do before anybody else leaves. Here's what I want to do. Somebody here in your life, you're not right with God. When I came to IBM, I had been to church before. But you can go to church and church never be in you. Just like standing in a garage does not make you a car. There's something that has to change about your life. And so what happened was I was working, trying to sell, but nothing would sell. I began to get sick in my stomach. Things they call like ulcers or whatever have you. Something happened. I went to the doctor, and this is what the doctor said. He said, you must be under a lot of stress. He said, sometimes you just have to live with that. Now, I was always healthy. I went to college on in part tennis scholarship. I always played athletics. I just had, you know, and I've never been sick. But not only that, I had no money, and I was deep in debt, and debtors were calling my boss and trying to garnish my check, trying to get my IBM to pay. So I was embarrassed. But not only that, my relationships were breaking up. The Bible says the way of the transgressor gets hard. Because I didn't know Christ, I wasn't in the kingdom, things were getting worse and worse. I was trying to pretend like everything is fine. But at night, I'd go home. And this one night, I put my head on my pillow, and tears came out of my eyes. And this is what I said. God, would you please help me? And the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That night, I entered into that covenant. He sent a lady by my place at work about 3 or 4 days later, and she came to my desk. She worked for the company too. She said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? And I was single. She was single. She looked good. I said, yeah. And what happened? She took me to a meeting. I thought we were going to boogie down. But we ended up at a place, and we walked in the door of the auditorium, and people were holding their hands up, praising God. I said, oh, my God. But a guy saw me. He didn't know me, but this is what he said. Jesus loves you, brother. And he hugged me just like that. And then I just melted. I knew I was at the end of my road. The Bible says about the prodigal son, he came to himself. And sometimes every door has to close so that you can come to yourself. So what happened with me? That night, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I did, instantly, I felt the burden of the world lift off of my shoulder. The man of God laid hands on me. Power of God hit my body. The next thing I know, I was getting up. I said, wow, something happened to me. I felt like a party was going on in my stomach. Something was happening. What happened? I went back to the doctor. He said, my God, this thing is cleared up. Instantly healed. Forget not all his benefits. What the next thing happened? Next thing that happened? Totally out of debt. God said, I'm going to show you how to get out of debt. He said, now give, sow seed. I started sowing seed. God opened up big opportunities. Big money came in. Boom, paid off the debt. Sowed seed, big opportunities. Money came in, paid off the debt. Oh, no man, nothing today. For 30 years, oh, no man, nothing. What happened next? Because I was getting more business, I was rising to the top, and I became number one salesman. What did I do? Get promoted. What was God doing? He was showing me what would happen if I gave my life to Him. You see, some of us have messed it up, but God gives you a second chance. So if you're here, no matter where you are, even by internet, wherever you are, here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you tonight. I want to pray the same prayer for you tonight that they prayed for me that night in Chicago that saved my life forever. Now, here's what you have to do. You got to make up your mind that you're going to come to yourself, that you've tried to do it yourself, and you don't need to try that any longer. You've got to make up your mind because God won't force you to come. He said, whosoever will, let them come. So I'm calling right now for you. Everybody in here, remember, don't be ashamed of it. That faith puts you right out there. And that as you act on it, you'll see a miracle from God. So if you're here and you know that I'm talking to you, whether you're upstairs, downstairs, in the basement, wherever you are, here's what I want to do. For every person that knows you need Jesus in your heart, I want to pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand right here at this altar with me. Glory to God. You stand right here with me. For those who are here with this chair, move the chairs. Make room for those who are receiving Christ. Glory to God. Move over to that side, please. Just go right on over. Go right on over. That's it. Keep going over. I got you covered. I got you covered. Just go right on over. Come on. We're receiving Christ. This is your night. This is your night. Nobody leaving. You're going to pray with me. All right. All right. This is the greatest miracle, to be born again. This is what the church is here for, to receive you into the kingdom. Nobody leaving, just adjust yourselves. Come on, you're going to pray with me. All right. Okay. All right, I'm about to pray. I want you to come up here. If you can't come, I want those. That's it. Just come right as close as you can. We're going to get a miracle. Remember what I did now. I spoke words. I said, you call me at 5 o'clock tonight and I'll have so much business I can't put it on the books. So notice how important words are. I spoke words over my wife and look at how marriage changed. I'm saying when you speak the words that I'm going to give you, your life is going to change forever. You're going to be just like Mary. Don't try to feel anything. Just know something happened. And you're going to see as you go on through life, God is going to manifest Himself. What you've been struggling with, you'll struggle with no longer. Lift your right hand up to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and our Savior. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that you raised him from the dead, that he's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on, from this day forward. I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, you said in your word that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised me that I would be saved. I confess it, I believe it, and I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I give you the praise. Now give God a hand clap right there, because something has happened to you. Now, stand right here. I'm going to give the pastor this microphone, but I want to say this. Notice, instead of me going, trying to get something from IBM, I became an ambassador, and I began to give something to the company. I'm saying wherever you work, God's going to flip the script. You're going to find, instead of you expecting something from them, they're going to expect something from you. You are in the kingdom now. You are one of the richest people on face of this earth right now. So for all of you now, the curse is broken. The blessing has come. You're going to see miraculous things happen. Why? Because today you started a brand new life. Say, I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. In Jesus' name.